On today's episode of Locked On Spartans, it is a football Friday. We've got Michigan State heading to the Big House to take on Michigan. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to pick some games around the Big Ten. Let's go.
You are Locked On Spartans, your daily podcast on the Michigan State Spartans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Locked On Spartans. It is Friday, October 30th. The year is 2020. I'm your host, Will Hunter, joined by my ready-to-get-inebriated on Halloween, but not like he used to in college co-host Matt Sheehan.
No, I gotta be a dad now. I gotta be a responsible adult. I can't be getting too dialed up for this game. If there's ever one game that I could get dialed up for, it's probably this one, though. Yeah.
I think you're going to be missing it, like, mid-second quarter.
Yeah. I don't know. I did last game. I did the craziest thing I've ever done in my entire life last Saturday, and I went through the whole game without having a single drink last game. And, of course, of all games in my entire life that could probably use at least 1, 2, or 12, that was the one. So, I don't know. If I could do it last weekend, maybe I could do it this weekend. Just don't hold me to it, though.
Yeah. To be fair, though, you were freshly home off a, like, 36-hour hospital stay, which resulted in your son being born.
We were there Monday through Friday. Yeah.
There you go.
That was a long old week for old Matt. Got about 40 minutes of sleep in the entire week total. So, it was almost like feeling completely intoxicated. Yeah. Right.
Longer week for Mrs. Sheehan, so do not complain.
I will not. I will not.
On today's show, we're going to talk about the game, Matt.
Yeah, I know. I know we are. I know. I hate these commercials, like the Big Noon Kickoff commercials. It's like, start your day, Big Noon Kickoff, Michigan State and Michigan. And I'm like on the couch audibly saying, like, I'd rather not. Like, it'd really jazz me if we could avoid this altogether. But
can we do BTN? Can we get on BTN? Is it too late to play on BTN?
BTN, C-SPAN 4 would be nice. Discovery, I would even take. Oxygen, the O Network.
Discovery
Kids.
Has
a few slots open. Discovery Kids, if you will.
Cheddar.
Nickelodeon Gas, I'm sure we could revive that old channel for you late 90s cable getters.
Spike TV, they're still around, right?
Spike TV, wow, that's a blast from the past. Very nice. Nice callback.
We're on
Fox at noon, Big Noon Kickoff.
Gus and Joel, and it's going to be really fun to hear Joel Klatt.
How is Joel going to broadcast the game without you? Never mind.
You can't say.
This is a family show. This is a family show. I'm sorry.
It'll be
the
tough
microphone
though.
And Jim Harbaugh. Never mind.
It's going to be a challenge for him to broadcast the game like that in that status when he's going to be preoccupied with something else.
Well, he'll have one hand free for the microphone, so he's got that going
for
him.
He will have one hand free for the microphone.
Yeah.
That'll be good for him.
Will I even make it till 12:04 on the clock before I hit the mute button permanently, you think? I don't know. There's no way. I think once, like, 12:01 rolls around and, like, I see that stupid face of his, we're going straight to the mute button on that one.
You mute his face?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm not gonna make this a Joel Klatt episode. He's a clown. Everyone knows.
We're done with
he
that. Shut up.
Every
shut
single
up.
Year.
Shut. Stop talking.
Find a new slant.
Find a new slant. So we're gonna talk about the game, some matchup things, how we're feeling. I don't know. We're just gonna talk about it, and then to end the show, we're gonna do some picks around the Big Ten. That's the plan for today's show. Reminder to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. You can find Locked On Spartans wherever you get your podcasts. We do this every single day, 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And go subscribe, spartanswill.substack.com. I got my statistical breakdown up for you this morning. Earlier in the week, I wrote a defense of Jay Johnson. Well, not really a defense of Jay Johnson, because I don't think he was very good on Saturday, but I think there's some good stuff there. And then I did a film room on Monday, so go check that out as well. All right, Matt, are you ready?
Yeah,
as ready as you'll ever be?
I think so. I don't know. Like, I saw closer to kickoff, like, my blood would be a little, the blood pressure would be a little higher knowing that rivalry week is coming towards us. But I think I'm the same as yesterday. Now, don't get me wrong. Once, like, 11:45 a.m. hits on Saturday, like, okay, I'll start getting a little antsy. But right now, like, I think I'm as ready as I will be for this one. I don't know.
Have you seen...
It's tough.
Have you been on Twitter seeing any sort of Michigan fan commenting this week?
Not really, have you?
No, I...
Would it even be fun for them, though? Like, I kind of thought about that after the Rutgers game. It's like, wow, they're going to absolutely bury us on the Twitter streets next week. But then it's like, will they? Is it even going to be fun for them? I think it was kind of like 2013 or 2014 when U of M rolled in MSU. Like, it wasn't really that enjoyable. Everyone knew it was going to happen. It was the inevitable. So, I don't know. There's a different luster on the game than normal.
Matt, 2013 was the most fun I've ever had watching Michigan State football play.
I'm thinking of 2014 then. I'm thinking of 2014 then. Yeah.
You're thinking of Spike in the Ground?
Yes, that is. Yeah, that is okay. Correct. Yep, that's it. Okay. 2013 was a blast. A blast. Yeah. I won raffle tickets in a Miller Lite contest, actually. and this two
We don't
seats,
talk about other beers here, Matt.
I won raffle tickets from a lesser beer than Coors Light back senior year, and the tickets were right in the middle of the Michigan like parent, family, and friends section. I have no idea why the seats were there, but just increased the whole experience even more. Anyway.
Oh, fantastic. So
2013. I'm sorry. I'm just grasping on to like better days as we're talking about this rivalry coming up.
My favorite thing that I've seen is Michigan fans accusing Michigan State fans of living in the past.
That's the best of all time. The best of all time, yeah.
All you do is just ask, how's the trophy case? You're living in the past.
Well, sure, yeah. And it's often people with like some Bo Schembechler quote in their bio or like Charles Woodson clamping the rose in their header photo.
The team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. Or those who will stay will become champions. Like, yeah, that's a quote that's been relevant the last 15 years. There we go. Nice.
I think that original team quote was the team doctor, the team doctor, the team
there
doctor.
There he is.
And then they edited out the doctor part.
Sure, as one does. Wow, I did not. Who had Will Hunter as the first one to throw that barb in their bingo card? Not I. That's big time. That might be growth on my part, though. Look at me.
You know what? I retract it.
Okay.
I don't want to make a joke about that. I retract it.
Delete.
Well, that's the frustrating thing about like the Twitter discourse is someone from Michigan throws Larry Nassar out, and you're just like, really? Like,
oh, I don't know.
And then it's just I don't want to go there, but I do want to make fun of the people with Bo Schembechler quotes or header photos or whatever. Maybe change that. Maybe time to change that.
It's the same throwing, like, oh, you guys lived in the past, and then it's like, hey, one time, this Peppers guy returned a two-point conversion beat you guys by 2 scores. That's right. Like, that's the best play that we've had. And do you know what else happened? Devin Bush got mad during a photo op, so that's right. And those two things are in the top 5 moments of Jim Harbaugh's tenure at Michigan so far. That's what $9 million and endless media exposure gets you in Ann Arbor. They get you a nice 2-score win over a 3-9 team and a tantrum thrown at the 50-yard line during a photo op. Ooh, that's some nice sizzle on that Ann Arbor steak over there. Very nice.
I can feel the rage bubbling below your surface.
It's always been there. It's just like the baseline rage I have for them. Like it's nothing extra.
But you're like you're going into this game, your chest isn't out, and like for good football reasons too. But also, you just had a kid. You're having getting 2 hours of sleep every night.
Yeah, I'm more jaded. Right.
Your priorities have shifted a little bit.
You'd be surprised.
Well, they have.
Okay.
I would hope.
Marginally.
But and that'll continue through life. I think it kind of happens to everyone as you get older. I'm certainly not even close to, like, if you think, I don't know, I'm straight down the middle, kind of boring, even-tempered now. Should have met me in college. I mean, I was that way, but about Michigan State football and basketball, I would be very excitable.
All right.
I was even
worse in college. I know it's hard to believe, but I was even worse than
We all were worse in college, and you get wiser with age. But I still feel the hate in your heart. I know it's there, and I'm just wondering, real quick, when's it going to come out? It's going to come out, Matt. You're not going to be able to. Is it going to be the first time Joel Klatt praises Jim Harbaugh? Is
I won't know because
he'll
be on mute by then, so I wouldn't know. I'm sorry.
Is it the first time you see some stupid tweet Saturday morning?
Here's the thing. It's like last Saturday, this is what it does for me. It's like whenever someone talks trash to you, like now at this point, all you can do is just agree with them. It's like,
yeah.
It's kind of like how I look at my Lions fandom. Like some people would be like that are Bears fans. They'll be like, "Oh, no offense, but da 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 da." It's like, whoa! Everything offense. You're saying is warranted. Like there's nothing you can say that either A will offend me or B that I already haven't said about these guys. Like, I'm sorry, it's a terrible way to look at this because they're gonna get free shots, and then there's no one that I want to give free shots to less in the entire world than those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. It's like. Is it trash talk or is it now just stating facts now? Like, we just lost to Rutgers by 11. That takes a lot of shine away. We don't have a leg to stand on. We used to have at least a leg to stand on. Like, at least we've never lost to Rutgers. Now the only thing we have left is like, oh, yeah, well, we've been to Indy. That Indy sign is looking further and further in the rearview mirror as time goes on, though. Like, that was 5 years ago now. And yeah. I don't think we're going to get there anytime soon, Will, because, things aren't looking too great. So now I'm just a shell of a man that's waiting for basketball season. Or a complete stunner on Saturday. And boy, if that happens, how much do Skywriters cost in the Ann Arbor area? Because I might be getting some quotes on Saturday if that works out.
We can talk about that scenario and what it would take to make that somewhat possible late mm-hmm. into the game.
Sure.
So we'll do that here. In just a minute, but first a word from Built Go, Matt.
Built Go, that's right, baby. Get you through that wall. I hope the entire team just inhales Built Go.
That's what we should do. I don't know if this is, like, impermissible benefits, but let's just get some boxes of Built Go,
mm-hmm.
ship them down to Ann Arbor, and say, let's go, because Built Go is the solution
yeah.
to breaking through your wall. And right now, Michigan State football has some walls, namely the opponent's defensive line. It's a big
namely
wall.
Namely the opponent. And themselves.
The big thing is the opponent's defensive line, which we're going to talk about.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Oh, boy, is it about to get a lot tougher.
We'll get to it, yeah.
Yeah. So Built Go is a wonderful product from the people who brought you Built Bar and continue to bring you Built Bar. I shouldn't say brought you. They continue to bring you Built Bar.
Yes, sir.
Built Go is this awesome little energy protein sort of like pre-workout all in one. It's a little gel pack. They're small, they're easy to take, and they are absolutely delicious. They've got three flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. And we've talked about this before. Usually those energy gels from other companies, they're not good, Matt.
Nasty.
They are just, you choke them down. You don't have to do that with this because somehow the people at Built with their Go and their bars have figured out a way to make protein and energy tastes delicious. It is magical.
It's sensational. Try peanut butter honey on some apples. I'm not even kidding. That is a complete game changer.
There you go. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy, but you don't get that crash feeling. You don't get the crash that you get with a Monster or whatever energy drink you're going to do. They got vitamins B6 and B12 that keep you going all day long. They've got collagen protein that helps it absorb really fast. And that makes it easy on the stomach. And, Matt, collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. It literally will make you look better.
I find that hard to believe, but you know what? We're going to keep on chugging these along.
They use collagen in that in other medical fields. Like, it's in there. Collagen protein, dang. Matt. We're all about it. Built Go is going to help you get through whatever your wall is, whether it's a 7-minute mile or a 250-pound bench press or just getting a promotion at work, whatever it is. Built Go is the solution to break through your wall. Visit builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Today's episode is also brought to you by Coors Light.
Do you know what that is, Will? Do you know what that is?
That sounds like a mortar shell of Coors Light being cracked open.
The first mortar shell, a.k.a. pounder, a.k.a. 16-ounce twist-top can of Coors Light being cracked open for the weekend. Because Lord knows we need it heading into this one, because I am all sorts of wound up. Parenthood's got the best of me. Being a fan of the Michigan State Spartans has got the best of me. But you know what has also got the best of me? The relaxation that Coors Light gives off. With every sip, Will. How about that?
I love it. It's perfect because these days, like, life forces you to be on all the time. We're both new dads. You got to be on all the time. I got a baby monitor next to my head when I sleep. It's insanity. I'm working right until 1 in the morning for you guys at the newsletter. But every now and then, it's very important to stop and hit that reset button. And that is when you do what Matt's doing right now and reach for a cold, delicious Coors Lights Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. And it is the perfect beer to watch Michigan State go into Ann Arbor and shock the world, Matt.
Yes, sir. Or if not, it's a perfect beer. May I suggest everyone a nice halftime shower? Halftime, it's going to be a nice fall, crisp afternoon. Halftime, the boys might be down 28-3, but do you know what is not down 28-3? The idea of a nice hot shower with a nice cold Coors Light. Ooh, that's going to set the tone for the second half and the rest of your day. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm not.
You're not wrong. You are incredibly right. Coors Light's cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill, and it's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind, and perfect for a college football game. Coors Light is the one we choose when we need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Okay, Matt. What's it going to take? How does Michigan State hang with Michigan this weekend? First thing I want to say.
Yeah.
The two biggest overreactions from week one of the Big Ten season, I think this is fair, are probably, whoa, Michigan, top five team maybe, top 10 for sure, and whoa, Michigan State, one of the worst teams we've ever seen. So I think you're in a spot where Michigan is riding high and has public opinion absolutely on their side. And I don't care who you are, who your coach is, what you've done, where you're going, whatever. When you go into any game and you're a 3+ touchdown favorite, you're not going to have the same energy and intensity as you would if it was a 3-point spread.
There might be a drop-off between hosting the Spartans as 3-point underdog or 3-touchdown underdogs instead of going on the road for a night game against a top 25 team. Yeah.
So I think, not that there's really a letdown spot because of rivalry games.
Sure, of course.
I think it's like letdown light.
This is probably the most relaxed Michigan has been going into this game since the Mike Hart era.
Probably because even in 2016, you know, Michigan State had won 7 of the last like 8.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like Michigan needed to get back on the right side.
Well, they were chasing greatness that year, too, and they came up a few inches short. But, yeah,
they did. Yeah, they had the playoff on their mind. And they, you know, they do certainly this year, I think, but it's early enough that it's not like we got a few more wins. We need to take care of business. They're like, you know, still breaking in a bunch of new guys. So they're very impressive against Minnesota. I think we need to real quickly just mention that Minnesota is Minnesota, right? We talked a little bit about them not being able to reload. Like, they're a rebuild.
Valid.
Not reload. Mm. 7 new starters on defense going into the season.
Is that including their, like, COVID-positive people, too, or?
Does not include the people that they were missing for COVID.
Got it.
They're down 2 starting offensive linemen. They lost most of they returned like 1 running back last year that carried the ball for them.
Yeah.
They had Tanner Morgan. They have Rashad Bateman. That's great. Football's more than a quarterback and a receiver. Bateman had a great game. Mm-hmm. Morgan struggled. Minnesota might take a nice step back. I think they're going to end up okay because Flex, a really good coach, and they do have some good players there, and they'll be able to hang with and beat middle-tier Big Ten teams, especially in the West. But I think Minnesota isn't a top team like they were last season. And again, I don't want to like take a ton away from Michigan. They played really well, and they looked impressive. I feel like in like 5 weeks, we'll look back at that game and be like, yeah, that makes sense. It wasn't that impressive. Minnesota, a little overrated coming into the season. They're okay, but they weren't a top whatever they were coming into the game.
That was one of my takes on Locked On Big Ten, is that Minnesota would fall well under their season win total. I think it was six, I want to say. But yeah. Not sold on the Gophers this year. But so. Again, just like you're saying. No, never mind. I was going to get carded to Michigan. Whew, close one. Oh, man. Stop myself short there. Oh, thank God.
Whew. Also, 49 points. Very impressive. We mentioned the defensive issues for Minnesota in terms of just experience.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan's breaking in 4 starting offensive linemen, pretty much a whole new receiving core and a new quarterback. They got a pretty darn good start, I would say, Matt. Although they ran the hell out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see them having that level of success against Michigan State. Michigan State's defense is worlds better than what Minnesota's
going to
put on the
field. 8.2 yards per carry. Is that what you're
saying?
No,
and that sack adjusted and kneeled down. It's like 9.3 yards per carry.
Heavens, Jesus.
Without the sacks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I already did the math. Also, we got to touch on field position here.
Definitely.
These are just like mitigating factors of like, whoa, why did Michigan look so good? They definitely played well, but they also had this. So their first scoring drive, they took over and had a 70-yard touchdown run. Good for them. After that, though, they took over Minnesota 45 after a punt from the Minnesota 14, a 31-yard punt. So Michigan gets it at Minnesota's 45. Boom. I mean, they missed the field goal, but... fumble return touchdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next drive after that, 2 plays, 8 yards, touchdown.
Okay.
Nice long drive here, 10 for 77, good for them. Next one after that, Minnesota goes for it on 4th down from their own 31 with about 3 minutes left in the half and don't get it. So 4 plays, 29-yard touchdown. And then to close the half, they get the ball at Minnesota's 47 after a punt. 5 plays, 17 yards, missed field goal. That's just the first half. So they did have some longer ones in the second half. 96-yard touchdown, 68-yard touchdown drive. They definitely like won that. And then here late in the fourth, I think it is, they took over at the Minnesota 30. So in the first half, when this game was decided, their starting field position was absolutely incredible.
It sounds like they were living in Minnesota's side of the field before they even took a snap for a drive. Yeah.
The entire game took place in Minnesota's side of the field, and Michigan State kind of just did the opposite of that. Like, the whole game was played in their end against Rutgers because of the turnovers.
Yes.
Rutgers had some nice returns. You know, I don't know how sustainable that is. Right, I don't think you said something like they started their average field position was like the Minnesota 40 something.
That's what I read, and I did not fact check it, of course. but based on what you just said, yeah, it sounds like that their average field position to start drives was the 41-yard line of Minnesota.
In the first half, the majority of their drives started in Minnesota territory. A couple of them started. One started on the 8-yard line. Another one started on like the 29.
That'll help get you to 49 points. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that is something you need to consider as well. Like, Michigan's not going to have that big a field position advantage. That's kind of a fluky-ish thing. There's certainly a lot of things that play into it, but it's not sustainable game to game, whereas, like, your rushing efficiency and your passing efficiency and how you, like, you know, those things can be pretty sustainable game to game.
Mm-hmm.
Your turnover luck, your field position luck, the opponent punting at 30 yards from their own end zone, stuff like that. That's not all that sustainable. So they've done a couple things that aren't really that sustainable that really helped a game that Michigan was better, certainly, a better team, but it made it look a lot worse than it probably should have been. You know what I'm saying?
No, definitely, yeah. Kind of like MSU Rutgers. Yeah.
Kind of like that. Except for they're on the opposite end. And
very opposite end of the equation there. But yeah, same idea though.
Yeah, if luck teaches us anything or, you know, that stuff flips. And I don't know, we'll see. So, man, I'm just looking through some of these numbers. Like Zach Charbonnet, right? Like they had no running back.
How is he still there?
I know. Hassan Haskins had the most carries for them. He had 6.
Oh, wow.
Joe Milton had 8, but he had, I think, 2 sacks. So he had 6 as well. Zach Charbonnet, 4 carries for 70 yards with a long of 70.
That'll help the numbers, yeah.
Hassan Haskins.
That's going to boost them.
Yeah, Hassan Haskins, 6 for 82, along of 66.
Okay, that'll also help numbers, yep.
Yeah, you're kind of getting where I'm going here. Chris Evans, 5 for 19, along of 8.
How the hell, there's no way.
I don't know
Max
how Chris Evans
was tackling Chris Evans back in the day. Are you kidding? Greg Jones laid a few tackles on Chris Evans back in the day. Does anyone check the eligibility of these players for Michigan?
It's unbelievable. I don't know.
Ben Mason too? Like, this is unbelievable.
Ben Mason is still there. Yep, we talked
about
Ben.
This is insane. Every Wolverine gets 9 years of eligibility suddenly. All right.
Yeah. Michigan's going to do a lot of things to really challenge Michigan State's defense. I don't think the Michigan State defense is going to open up like a sieve like Minnesota's did, especially in the run game.
They cannot possibly top 9.2 yards per carry, 9.3 when you factor in sacks and everything. Like, wow, no, just
yeah. Eat a shoe if it happens.
Knock on wood really quick. Double check there.
The path to victory, so to speak, as my friggin' Heisman House ad goes off in my ears.
Ah, nice. R.I.P. to
certainly
ears.
Make them grind it out on the ground. Make them go 4 or 5 yards at a time. Right? Eliminate 70-yard, 60-yard, 50-yard plays.
Yeah, helpful.
That'll be helpful. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, Joe Milton, one start under his belt, has looked really... He was fine this game. In previous action, has looked just flat bad.
Mm-hmm.
They make life really easy on him. He's a big dude. He runs really well. Has a cannon for an arm. They are simplifying things. Easy reads. Easy throws. And just, you know, like, he threw the ball 22 times.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty easy first start for him. So if they can get after him a little bit, get him off his spots, make him make throws into tight coverage, you know, he hasn't seen that yet. He hasn't had to do that yet. And, like, I know Rutgers scored 38, but Rutgers didn't really score 38. Like, Michigan State scored, like, 20 of those points.
Yeah. No,
if we're being honest.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
So the Michigan State defense, it was like 3.9 yards per play they gave up, so which is, or like 3.8, which is elite. Even though it's Rutgers, like, that's a mediocre to bad offense. They still snuffed them out pretty good outside of a couple of drives where there's just a couple mistakes. And really, you could look through those and be like, all right, you know, this happened because they're not used to running this defense. This happened because they didn't bring a safety down because they got caught with 6 guys in the box instead of 9 guys against the 9-man run scheme. Like, things like that that are pretty easy to iron out. It wasn't a talent issue. There was a lot of, like, I'm in the wrong place. Whoops.
Because that's my worry. It's like, yeah, they're simplifying the playbook for Milton, like you said, but also, like, the other side of the field is a new Michigan State defense that's learning a lot from a new staff as well. Like,
it is.
That's what I kind of worry about. It's like, yeah, Michigan's all green and stuff like that, but so is the Spartans defense, too.
Yep. But we got to keep in mind, there's a lot of 4-star guys on that defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michigan State's always recruited pretty well on the defensive side of the ball. The other side is where they struggle. A bunch of really talented guys, maybe a couple future pros. There's some good players on that defense. And I think they'll be solid. I mean, they may get beat up a little bit this game.
Yeah.
They're going to get beat up against Ohio State. But overall, like, throughout the season, it's going to be a good defense. It's going to be a solid defense. Not going to be 2013. It's not going to be 2018 or 2012. But it'll be a solid defense.
But that's what, like, I want. Like, I want 2013.
Well, that's what they need if they want to, like, win
four or five. Right?
Like, really, if they were, then they could potentially finish 500 this year. But they're not. They're just not at that level. But they're good. They're not going to, I don't think. I'd be very surprised if Michigan.
Serviceable?
Yeah, more than serviceable.
We'll take serviceable. All right.
Problem is, Michigan has a good good offense and it seems like a really good defense. We'll see. Like, both sides of the ball, Michigan's going to be pretty solid. I don't think they're going to be, like, elite on either side. Like, they've had some elite defenses. I don't think they're going to be at that level. They got a lot of new guys. Their front's really good. Some really good players on that front. They got 6 sacks.
Yeah.
Or 5 sacks, 8 tackles for a loss. And let's see how many times. So Tanner Morgan threw the ball 31 times, dropped back like 40 times, and they had 5 sacks. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Can I talk my worry? What's going to keep me up at night right now? Or do you want to go cut it to a break really quick?
Let's cut to a break. We'll do that. And then we'll do some Big Ten picks at the end. It's a long show, but it's Michigan State, Michigan week.
Probably warranted.
We're going long. Yeah. So we'll do that here in just a minute. All right, Matt. What's keeping you up at night? I do want to say, like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to give you reasons why this can be closer than we think.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm also pretty confident Michigan's going to win this game by at least 14 points.
I was going to say, the way you're talking, like, I can just physically see the money coming into the Michigan State, not just spread, but also the money line right now.
No, no money line, but 24.5 seems a little much for me.
Yeah,
but this is how, I mean, Michigan could very well blow them out because the Michigan State offense could just do absolutely nothing. That is well within the realm of possibility.
That's the thing. Every hope that you just gave, not only State fans, but also me on the other end of the microphone here, I'm just going to take it right away right here because when Head Hits the Pillow Friday, what's going to keep me up at night is, well, this team just ran for 50 yards on 39 mm-hmm. carries against mm-hmm. Rutgers. I struggle to see how Michigan State gets 60 yards of rushing offense on Saturday. I don't think that's really hyperbole either. That is a legitimate concern that this team doesn't break 60 or 50 yards. And this, yeah, just like you said in your, or just like you wrote very eloquently in your newsletter, there were some missed blocking assignments. There were just some assignments that were hit, but they completely whiffed on the blocks. There was just some mix-ups with the running back. Like, there's a lot of issues with the run game. And, of course, mm-hmm. like we talked about yesterday, it all starts with the interior three. It's brutal, as it's been the last few years. The offensive line looked awful, I think is a good way to put it.
They were bad. They were flatly bad.
I don't know how MSU gets 50 or 60 yards of rushing. What does that do in return? That's going to make our boy Rocky Lombardi have mm-hmm. to go downfield a little bit. We're going to see some second and 11s, third and 14s. Like, oh, good. Uh-huh. Oh, great. An offensive line that just got 5 sacks is coming into town. Surely he'll have enough time to go deep to Jaden Reed or find Trey Mosley somewhere. Yeah, that's definitely going
to
happen.
Trey Mosley's probably not going to play.
Isn't
he week to week or is he day to day?
It doesn't matter. I was just pulling names out of a hat But you get the point, though. Like,
you're totally right, yeah.
The rushing offense is going to get so bottled up that you're going to have to rely on the pass offense. And when you have to rely on a pass offense, that's Rocky Lombardi having to go downfield. Hey, he played decent
72%,
week one.
300-plus yards,
two interceptions,
touchdowns.
You know, we talked about
interception.
Those.
One interception
that's on him, correct.
Yeah.
Still...
I don't know how comfortable
I'm living with that, though, where
Rocket
air the ball out and complete maybe upwards of 35 passes on the game.
If he had 6-7 games like that under his belt, yep, I feel good. That's something we can do. Rocky is, before that game, a career below 50% passer with like 4 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Yeah.
He would be the first to tell you him passing the ball his first 2 seasons didn't go well. So it was nice to see them sort of scheme around that mm-hmm. and quick, easy throws. And then it was an awesome, and I wrote about this in the Jay Johnson thing. I love, we're going to do short, easy throws and we're going to throw it deep. That's our passing game. We're going to cross guys. We're going to do slants. We're going to do 5 curls, break a tackle. And you can, like, that's how, I think Speedy's touchdown was like a 12-yard curl, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Broke a tackle touchdown, right? Easy, high-percentage throws mixed in with we're going to run 4 verts, we're going to try to take some shots. That's like my perfect favorite passing offense. So I like that they do that, and I think it makes sense for his skill set. In theory. That said, I'm not confident that it's a repeatable thing. I'm not confident that, you know, the mental mistakes are going to be overcome immediately. I think certainly by week 4, 5, 6, you're not going to see those miscommunications on the option routes. But he had like 3 or 4 of them. Like maybe there's only 1 this week, but I would be very surprised if we didn't have like a noticeable miscommunication between him and the receivers because it's week two, new scheme, new stuff, like new quarterback to receiver combo, right? It's a new quarterback. So, yeah, that's sort of, I don't know, I guess the saving grace. The if you ask me, Will, how does Michigan State move the ball in this game?
Pick sixes.
Pick sixes. That's it.
Kickoff returns for touchdowns.
I would say passing early and often. Don Brown, for all the good things he does, is... Now, I don't want to call him a one-trick pony, but Don Brown's going to bring pressure. And he's going to play man behind it. And he's going to find awesome, creative, horrifying ways to bring that pressure from all over the place that you can't identify, and it's just crazy. But if you can get the ball out, if you can complete it in space... We've seen what Ohio State's been able to do to them, right?
Some moderate success from the Buckeyes.
Yeah. And that's, of course, the top end talent. But that's, it's sort of, I don't know, it's almost like an all or nothing defense.
It is.
Like you don't really grind it out against Michigan.
But they all or nothing defense against this offense and this offensive line, like, you're going to get a lot of more all. From their aspect, that then I really say, hey, I know that my
it's going to be hard.
I'm perceived as playing Debbie Downer a lot. Like, I don't take pleasure in this, but like also, I have no reason. And this isn't just what we saw last week. This is what we like saw the last year, if not 2 years, with us offensive line. Like, it comes down to the trenches. Like, it's a massive liability. We got guys blitzing. What happened when Rutgers blitzed last week? How did that go at the 1 yard line? Like, okay, let's remove that and then replace it with like 4-star athletes that are doing it now at a much more higher frequency than they did last week. Like,
I will say,
I'm Debbie Downer, but like, no. I got a very hard time believing that this team can score points, which seems important in a football game.
Yeah. I will say last week, a lot of the pressure issues weren't a talent thing, it was a schematic thing. Rutgers did some really weird and creative stuff that Michigan State just like was like, we don't know what to do. And that's certainly on them. But a lot of it was just like schematically Rutgers.
The old tip your hat trick. Tip your hat trick.
Yeah. But you're crazy if you don't think Don Brown's going to be doing similar stuff, bringing blitzes that they haven't seen, making it really hard for MSU to protect. Because that's what's going to happen.
I know.
So, yeah, you hope that quick drops, you know, shotgun, get the ball, throw the quick screen, throw the slant, throw the, you know, whatever, the hitch, stuff like that.
The sweep.
Try to do that. Try to, you know, just get through that first wave of pressure, and then I think you can do something from there. Not much, but...
No, I know. It's one of those easier said than done things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you got a couple guys who can make things happen in space.
Right.
Speedy Naylor, Jaden Reed can do it. Jordan Simmons is another guy that can, is like, that level of speed can make you miss and can do things. You know, that's how they, the whole premise of this is, if you ask me how is Michigan State going to move the ball, that would be it.
Yeah.
I don't know how successful they're going to be. Yeah, I don't know how successful they'll be at it, but that's the route. And if you want to pull an upset, if you want to hang this thing close, you definitely need to win the turnover margin, get some pressure, maybe get a strip sack, get a pick on Milton, try to take advantage of that. No explosive run plays, and then you got to break a couple big plays on offense, because I don't see them sustaining drives at all. You got to hit Naylor on a slant, and he's got to outrun a guy. You got to make a guy miss and run, you know, catch the ball 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and then run for 45 more, right?
Yep.
Which, hey, they had two of them against Rutgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just like you're saying,
I know it's Rutgers.
That's how OSU gouges U of M at the end of every season, too, is that.
But, and it's going to be a lot harder to break those big plays against Michigan than it was against Rutgers. But
of course.
I think there's a couple guys on this offense that have the capability to do that. They're just going to really struggle to protect, and Rocky might have a long day and get hit a bunch. And I don't see how they run the ball well unless there's just some, I don't know, maybe the sweep stuff can give them some breathing room, the horizontal stretching stuff, maybe that can help.
Yeah.
Misdirection. yeah, I don't see them lining up running inside zone or duo and it going well.
No, like, yeah, excuse me for being jaded, but, like, how many years has it been since we've seen, like, competent offensive line play? Like, this is a game where, hear me out here, offensive line play is going to be pretty important here coming up. Yeah. If you're going to want to actually run the ball and have some balance, because I think Rocky is a guy that's going to need a little bit of balance here.
Mm-hmm.
This season. Yeah. I know. Look at me stepping out with a sizzling hot analysis there. That's right.
Yeah. And I'd like to see Rocky run it some more. Maybe this isn't the game for it because, like,
if we're still waiting for seven more games after this,
yes,
right?
Hey, yeah. Rocky, go yeah. get laid out.
We want the kid to be alive here, right?
Six times for 19 yards in a 20-point loss. But go, like, no, you
but
know.
Next week in Iowa City for the homecoming game. Better oh, yeah, we're getting 25 Iowa. Carries under his belt in Iowa
yes.
City, baby.
Better
Let's
use
go.
For Iowa. Let's get him 10 carries for 80
nah,
yards.
No, 25
Iowa.
Carries. We're working him like a $3 mule, baby. Let's yeah. go.
Yeah. Honestly, Rocky, take the snap and just heave it. Mm-hmm. Heave it downfield.
Yeah, it's like by the second quarter, everyone's going to catch on. Like, oh, this is just the Wildcat, but with Rocky yeah. as quarterback.
All right, let's end the show with some Big Ten games. Let's okay. do Michigan State, Michigan last. Let's run through the
yeah,
other
yeah.
ones first.
Like
let's
that.
Start okay. with Wisconsin, Nebraska.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, let's go to the next game.
Okay. Yep.
You have the games up in front of you.
Oh, sorry, I thought you had the games up in front of you. No. Oh, no, I did have the games up in front of me, but now I don't. Okay, well, Minnesota, I know for a fact, is -19.5 going to the Terps on a nice Friday night.
I want the over.
Yeah, okay, I don't have yeah. that in front of me right now. Of course not, because, oh, God. I'm so ill-prepared for
I think
this
it's
right
67.
Now. Gotcha.
66. I just want the over, because Maryland can't stop anybody. PJ Fleck just got beat down by Michigan and is going to want to make a statement because PJ Fleck likes putting up points and, you know, Maryland will score a little bit to, you know, 49-28
okay.
kind of game. And we just saw Minnesota's defense, not very good.
It doesn't matter. They just got 40 piece by Northwestern. I'm going to take the Gophers
yeah.
here, which is that I'm taking the cheese. I'm taking the cheese. Vegas is putting out the cheese for us to take. Lop our heads
yeah.
off. I'm going to take the cheese. I know what I'm doing. I'm still going to take the Gophers, though. I'm taking
I
the
would
Gophers.
I'd probably take Maryland. I don't know. You said
9.5? No, oh, 19.5.
19.5.
19.5.
Yeah.
So like 10
I said 9.5.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, 9.5? I'm not taking Maryland.
Yeah,
19
oh, if
and
it was
9.5,
I could hear your tires yeah. squeal out, yeah. out of the driveway to go to the bank.
19.5, I'll take Maryland.
How about Purdue -7 against Lovie Smith and the Fighting Illini? Purdue is -7. On the road. I know. No Rondell Moore, I believe.
Yeah, give me Illinois. Give me the home dog. Home dogs have been really good this year.
Okay. I like that as well, so I'm right with you on that as well. I know it's boring.
I like Purdue. Purdue's good. Maybe they win close, but Illinois, a little bounce back action.
Yeah. Indiana. Spicy Indiana is playing
yep.
an equally as spicy Rutgers team. Indiana.
Yep.
Opens at -13. They are now at -11. They are -11 going to Rutgers right now.
Yeah, I would jump on it up. Excuse me. Jump on it +13. I'm on Rutgers in this game.
God, same here, man. Okay.
Letdown spot for Indiana.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting
huge
to.
Huge letdown spot. Mm-hmm. And Rutgers at home, feeling good. They're competent. They had a nice win, but it wasn't like they didn't beat a top 10 team.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they finally got a win. Good for them.
Yeah,
Indiana just got the win they've been waiting a decade for.
Sure, yeah, like Rutgers got a historic win, but like Indiana's was historic on a completely different level too.
Yeah, so
yeah, it was a T-shirt game. We're printing home field T-shirts about this game. So yeah, it's a precarious game to see them in.
Yeah, give me the points, and I'm taking a look at that money line.
Yeah,
I don't think it happens, but I'm taking a look.
Take a little peek. See how the Friday night game goes. Well, that is a 3:30 game, so maybe we see how the noon games go. See how much bankroll we have left over for that one. And another 3:30 game is Northwestern Lane. No, I'm sorry, getting 2.5 against Iowa. Iowa is -2.5.
Give me the Cats.
God, give me the Cats too. This
I love an underdog getting 2.5 because it seems like that,
mm-hmm.
that key number
mm-hmm.
three.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be at like, no, I want 3.5, right? I want to be the team giving 2.5 because I win by 3, I win. Like, we got to avoid those key numbers.
The same logic I have too.
Like, and you go on the opposite side of it. You do the thing that doesn't feel right.
No, this is the same logic I have. Like, I hate this, but I love this. I hate this because this is boring. This can't be fun to listen to, but I love it because that I love the thinking there. It's just smart, in my opinion, just to go for it.
Yeah, it's like a cheese line, like, oh, no, I want to be on the right side of a key number 7, 3, 14, 10. But, yeah, no, I want to be 9.5. I want to be 2.5.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is the last one before we get to the state game is Ohio State opened up at 5.5. I don't know how long ago that was because it has gotten all the way to 11.5. Buckeyes, obviously, the favorite.
Yeah. I think 5.5 may have been like a week and a half ago.
Okay. I was going to say that makes a lot of sense.
2 weeks ago when the original first lines came out. Mm-hmm. You said 11.5?
11.5. 11.5.
Yep. I've been ruminating on this a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, Penn State.
Really?
Because it doesn't seem like there's any way they cover that number.
11.5.
And so I'm taking it. 11.5, it's like, no, Ohio State's going to kill them. Like, there's no way. Penn State just lost to Indiana. They've got no running backs left. They have no Micah Parsons. Ohio State, best team in the conference. Keep it close. That line feels like it should be bigger. Penn State still has some really talented players. Should have beat Indiana. Keep it close. I think they like get 10 points. Like, they just barely get the cover.
I'm taking it, Will. Will, I'm taking it. I'm taking the cheese. I'm getting my head lopped off, clean off. I'm taking the Buckeyes. 11.5 is a big number, but, like, it's a big number because the Buckeyes are capable of beating that number. Penn State.
It's not a big number. It's not big enough.
I don't know, man. For a top 20 matchup, minus 11 is a big number.
I would think, based on just how everyone feels about Ohio State and how everyone feels about Penn State.
Oh, I know. Oh, I'm probably with the public here. I don't have the splits in front of me. I can probably get it right now, actually. But, yeah, it's... I'm probably with the public. The public is... no, of course this website doesn't have the public spread.
I got it. Awesome. I'm pulling it up. Fantastic. Pulling it up. I'm pulling it up.
Way to go, this website. I'm not going to call the website out because I do love this website that I use.
67% of public tickets are on the Buckeyes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I thought that'd be higher. I thought that'd be like closer to like 73% or something like that. All right. There we go.
That's also another reason to be on Penn State.
No, no, I know it is, but hey, sometimes
the
public wins.
All the time.
Sometimes the public wins.
Public wins all the time, just not as much as the house.
All right, and last but not least, Michigan is laying 55.5 points against your Spartans. No,
it's 24.5 is too many points. It's too many points. Should be 17.
Would I be considered a waffle if I changed my pick from yesterday? Because yesterday I said Michigan. No, I'm still sticking with Michigan. Every time I want to pick the Spartans, I think of the offensive line, and that's enough for me right there. It's not going to be a 44-10 repeat of last year, hopefully. But
I mean,
that's
pretty damn close.
Way,
that's only
way,
34.
Way,
34 is not that far from 24.
Exactly. And I am way more concerned on them replicating the 10 portion of that score than I am Michigan replicating the 44. Okay. But I could see that happening more than I could see the Spartans keeping it close. I'm sorry. I know people don't tune into a Spartan podcast to hear me talk bad about the Spartans, but like, I know I'm not the only one that didn't. Like, I'm not the only one that watched last Saturday's game either. And I've been watching the offensive line for the last how many years? Like, it's not going to be good.
We're all down on them at this moment.
Even
I
feel any better about it.
I'm the optimist of optimists. In the moment, I am still down on them. I'm still up on the long-term vision, but right now I'm not expecting much.
Year 0.5.
Dear God, if they win.
I might not be able to record because I'll just die. I'll just my heart will explode in my chest. And that's not a bad way to go. I don't know. Think of worse things, I guess.
You can think of worse things.
Honestly, like, if they win, I don't even know if I want people to tune into the podcast because it'll be 35 minutes of me just cackling straight. Like, I will not be able to contain myself. It'll be such an out-of-body experience that I will just lose my absolute mind and nothing coherent will come out of it.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope that happens.
Same here. I can't put these thoughts in my head. I cannot put these thoughts in my head.
We might even get that from you with, like, a 3-point loss.
No. I will not be chest pumping a loss by any means.
You beat us by less than Rutgers.
You bitch.
That's going to do it for us here, though, on another episode of Locked On Spartans. join us this weekend with a post-game live show. It might just be you and Matt because I'll be traveling, but I'm going to try to make it.
All right, there we go.
We'll see. We'll have more details on our Twitter account. We're going to try to do those post-game live reaction shows as much as we can this season, not promising every weekend because we both have newborns at home, and sometimes it's just tough. It's just tough, as a lot of you know. Speaking of newborns.
Yeah, go on.
Massive congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. John Kirby.
Oh!
I don't even know if you know this. I didn't know. I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
2 minutes ago on the Twitter machine.
No way. That's awesome.
His wife delivered a beautiful baby girl today.
Oh, hell yeah. There we go.
And they're quarantining and all that. And he said today's the best day of his life. So congratulations
to
the Kirby squad. Good dude, John Kirby. Works with you at the Only Colors.
Oh, he's and the best. Yeah.
Good Twitter follow. Good guy. Good MSU fan. So congratulations to the Kirby family. Yeah. Hopefully that's a good omen for the weekend. It didn't work for you.
He slept through the entire game. So hopefully I'll wake him up and, hey, this is the first game you're actually going to watch, kid. That's what we'll do.
Well, that's going to do it for us here. Longest podcast we've ever done. We're pushing 50 minutes here. Plus, oh my God, it's going to be almost an hour. We're going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Hey, it is what it is. Be like
it's the Michigan game. You got to do it. So Thanks so much for listening to the show. Reminder to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. We'll be back with a full-length, original, normal podcast on Monday morning, recapping what happened this weekend. Thanks so much for listening. Subscribe to the newsletter, Substack, spartanswill.substack.com. Matt, take us home.
Go green, baby. We'll get through all this together. Yeah.